In our afternoon study, I'm returning to the subject of David Murray's book, The Happy Christian. I failed to point out that in the book he has a clever way to capture the idea of each chapter. He gives a math equation using the greater than sign. So do any of you adults remember your elementary school math, the greater than sign? And the kids know this because they're right in that math, right? So one of them is greater and one of them is less than, right? So chapter one, facts are greater than feelings. Number two, good news is better than bad news. And today, chapter three is done is better than do. And the chapter's title is Happy Salvation. His subject is going to take on the mentality that that contributes to the fear, the anguish, the depression, the sadness that is often seen in the world around us and even in the church. And it's the attitude that you have to do better, that you have to do more to please God. And so we're going to focus on the gospel today. It's a subject that I hope you're well familiar with, but I hope today to tell you why it's important to focus on the gospel, and especially why to focus on the finished nature of the work of Christ rather than the mentality of always striving, always working, always trying to be good enough in God's eyes to merit salvation. It has especially to do with the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. We do live in a world that is motivated by the idea of Do, get it done. There have been many mornings recently where I've woken up and my mind begins to race about what needs to be done today. In fact, Dave and I were just mentioning this. I actually woke up this morning and I wasn't sure where I was or what day it was or why my alarm was going off. And, but the mind very quickly clicks in and you start thinking of do. This is what has to be done today. Your work measures you by how much you get done. Your grades measure you by how many you get right, and you don't get paid if you don't finish the job. Even relationships come to be measured by what have you done for me lately. So that's just the culture around us, but there's also a spiritual side to this too. We think of God weighing us to see if our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. Instead, the gospel is a message of done, or it is finished. This is the second time or third time today for me that this has come up. It came up in our Sunday school class. It came up in the psalm meditation, the sermon, that it is finished is the message of the gospel. Who said that, and when was it said? Emily?
Jesus said it when he was on the cross.
Yeah. So what was finished? What was he talking about when he said it's finished? Anybody can answer that? Rachel?
His mission.
Yeah. His mission to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin. That has huge implications for us. And when we were talking about it, just in our Sunday school class, I told the kids it gave me goosebumps, and it did, as we were talking about the veil being torn in two and the completed work of Jesus Christ and those incredible words that he utters on the cross. It is finished. So Murray really focuses in a pastoral way on the word done as opposed to do. So I'm going to follow his lead, and I'm going to compare and contrast done and do this afternoon. And he considers two questions. I'm going to have time just for one of them today. And the first question is, why is it so difficult to believe the gospel of done? And the second question, what could help us to believe it better? So there'll be a little bit of an incompleteness today, because I'm going to focus on the hurdles that we face to believe the good news of the gospel. And you can already begin, hopefully, to begin addressing those hurdles, or addressing those obstacles to believe the gospel of done. Murray also likes to use very practical illustrations. So in this case, he talks about horse racing and the practice of adding weights to horses to handicap them. Do you know? Does anybody know how that works? Gravity. Somebody no. Yes, it does. Why do they add weights to horses? Say it again?
Be fair to every horse.
That's right. So someone with a really light rider
would get more weights.
Will get more weights so that all of the horses are carrying the same amount. I always thought that was a little unfair to a horse. It may be easier for you to understand. Think about if you were running a race, and maybe you're going to race against Joseph, and Joseph's really fast, but they come up and say, you're older, and so you're going to get a bunch of weight on your back, so that Joseph has this advantage. Add this 50-pound bag of sand on your back to run a race. Oh, hey, there we go. So, Joseph, how would you like to have a 50-pound bag of sand on your back to run a race?
Not very much.
No. So there are encumbrances to believing the gospel of done. Think of it as a 50-pound bag of sand on your back. And he lists five of them, so that's five 50-pound bags of sand that can weigh us down. The weight of an accusing conscience. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I have some thoughts on it, but I want to give you, just from that title, to interact with that idea. What is the accusing conscience, and how does that weigh you down from believing the gospel of done? Why does it bring sadness to your life instead of happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's what we think, right? You haven't done enough. There's accusation in our thoughts of measuring up to either a perceived expectation of how we should live, or the very real guilt that we have. What's the accusing conscience of the real guilt that we have? Exactly. We have real sin. We have real guilt. And that can be a burden of accusation that weighs us down. Yeah. you gave an example that where you said, I didn't witness there as I ought. I would suggest that that's probably a perception rather than a real guilt. All of them may come back to a real guilt somewhere where we've been silent, or we have not witnessed, or we have lied about something to not create waves or something like that. But the real guilt I have in mind is of real offenses, that are sins that we have committed that are real guilt. I'm trying to think of other examples. So others chime in of guilts of perception. The church adds lots of, or the broader church can add a lot of expectations to what a real Christian does. Hey, don't drink, don't chew, don't dance, don't go with girls who do. It's an old one.
Crucifix after you pray or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So certain expectations that we don't live up to.
Bruce, don't you think that some personalities are just more susceptible to perceived guilt?
I think so too. Yeah. There's and Murray even talks about this, the very introduction to the book. He talks about there are personality traits of that are more negative that can come from what Jack Kreider used to call melancholy. It's an older word. I think a sensitive conscience, it goes in this direction as well. Someone who is sensitive to the Word of God and to God's holiness can tend in this direction as well.
People who have a tendency toward perfectionism.
Yeah, yeah. To read more about this, read Zechariah 3, verses 1 through 5. We won't go there today. Read this on your own, and you'll see the vision that is given to Zechariah of the high priest. And Satan the accuser is standing there, pointing his finger at how filthy the high priest is. What does God say?
Give him a new robe.
Exactly. Clothe him in new robes. And that's the gospel of done. Clothe him in Christ. That's the gospel of done. The second, I'm going to tie in with this. Murray talks about the weight of Christian failure. He's distinguishing that, I think, from thinking of sins of your past that weigh you down. And more what Abigail was saying is that as we are believers, that our conscience still can accuse us because we live in that already and not yet state of being justified but still sinners. Thirdly, I've alluded to this already, the weight of a demanding church. Churches can emphasize behavior and doing rather than grace. That's indicative or indicated by sermons that focus on improving this, that, and the other thing. Have a better marriage. Raise perfect children. How to be a good worker. All of these are important subjects, and all are addressed in Scripture. But if you do it without grace, it just becomes another finger pointing at you for not measuring up. Now, fourthly, the weight of our work for wages culture, that's the river we swim in, is measure up. And finally, and probably most importantly, the weight of unbelief. There's something in us that just can't accept the free offer of grace, that we think that we have to contribute something to it. We may not say it out this way. We may say, yeah, we're saved by grace, but then I have to keep myself in God's favor by what I do. I have to measure up. And we may not say it quite that way, but that's the tendency of our thinking, and that ends up being a huge, heavy burden, because it will, if you're honest, you can't do enough. And that's where the gospel of done is so important. And I put a little underline in my mind on Titus 3:5, where it says, not by works of righteousness which he has done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel of done. So next week we'll come back and we'll talk about the helps that will encourage us in combating these weights that weigh us down. You can begin to address them yourself.
You're like leaving us with weights.
I'm shaking my finger at you. No. Hopefully I've given some pointers already in that direction to keep coming back to it is finished. You can think of some practical ways to help you do that. And Murray has some really good practical instruction for us. And we'll come back to that. Any questions, comments?
You know, one of the things that I think makes the whole done thing, you know, hard to accept in some ways, it's like so many things here on earth, when it's done, it's more of a for now appended to it. You know, I've finished mowing the lawn.
For now.
Last long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
The house has been built, but yep. A little bit later it's going to need some maintenance.
Yeah. And that's the greatness of the work of Christ, though. It is done. It's all done. Yeah. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the finished work of Christ for us. I pray that we would find joy, real joy, in the fact that our salvation is completed in Christ. I pray that you would minister to us this week as we fight against those temptations, those accusations of our conscience, the expectations of our culture. I pray that we would rest in that completed work of Christ for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.